Hello and welcome to Democracy in Action with me, Sunny Martin, and we are coming to you live from Juba. Today, we turn our focus to Jonglei State, a region that continues to face recurring insecurity driven by inter-ethnic tension, cattle raiding, and child abduction, competition over scarce resources such as water and grazing land. And these challenges have had far-reaching consequences, including the displacements of communities, loss of life and livelihood, limited access to basic government services. So, what is being done to address these issues, and what does it mean for a stable Jonglei State? That's what we are going to be discussing today, and our lines will be open to you later on, where you can call on 091206-7879 or 091206-7929, or you can send us your question to our SMS number 091-2177-141. Those are all our contacts. You can get in touch with us here and ask my guest, who is going to be with us here throughout our discussion. And to help us unpack this, I am joined by Jonglei State Minister of Cabinet Affairs, Maulona Kuonyen Yuon. Honorable, thank you so much for coming to our studio today. You are most welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. First of all, I want to say thank you so much, Radio Miraya, for having me this morning for this very important discussion.
Okay.
In the affairs of our country.
Yes, you are a senior government official in Jonglei State, more or less very close to the governor, and sometimes you can act, you can be put as an acting governor when both the deputy and the governor are not in the country. First of all, could you give us a general picture of how is the situation right now in Jonglei State? We have been hearing a lot happening in northern Jonglei State of late. So many displacements are happening. What is the situation like on the ground?
Yeah, thank you so much, Martin, for that very important question. Again, just for clarity, as you put it, my name is Kuonyen Yuon. I am the State Minister for Cabinet Affairs in Jonglei State. And to your question on the current security situation in Jonglei State, I would say currently, as we speak today, being the 19th of March 2026, the security situation in Jonglei State is a bit calm. However, as you put it correctly, for those who might have just seen on social media, might have just heard the incident that happened starting from sometime around mid or late December in 2025, coming to early this year, the first quarter of the year, we've had a lot of security issues within Jonglei, particularly in the northern part of Jonglei, that were quite alarming, particularly to those that were not in prison. I remember at some point, because as you correctly put it, in December, when some of these incidents happened, I happened to be the one that was left in the state, mm-hmm. Being the acting governor, because by then we didn't have a person in the position of the deputy governor.
Yeah.
So automatically, being the third person in command, I happened to be the one. So I experienced those first-hand information. The situation then was volatile, but I wouldn't say not to the how people, perceived it or might have heard it outside, because as I said,
the outsiders,
even people, in Juba, by then they could ring me up a phone call and ask me, are you really in Jonglei? I mean,
we were being told people are fleeing.
We've been told people are fleeing. Of course, that one, there was some truth in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was potential fear.
Okay.
Particularly, you know, from our local citizen within the state capital board. So there are some that actually attempted to flee on the other side of the river, in the lakes. The popularly, you know, Goliar. So that one happened, but then there was no any threat,
okay,
particularly within the southern part, including, you know, the state capital. Whatever happened, these were incidents, you know, in the northern Yonglei. But because of the past incident that happened,
yeah,
probably, you know, that justify
the
why
fear.
People were actually fleeing away. So I would say, and then unfortunately, the things was actually exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
By who?
Media.
By social media.
By different commentators, so to speak.
Okay.
You know, people would call, like I said, some could even call government officials, including myself then, that we've heard that Bor has been overrun, which is, you know, something that is not true at all.
Okay.
Yeah, but conclusion on that question, I would say, currently the situation is calm in Yonglei State. But in the month of December last year, January and some part of February, the northern part of Yonglei was volatile.
Okay. And let's talk about the issue of displacement. At the same time also, there has been a lot of workshops going on as people are so enthusiastic about the upcoming December election. We'll be talking about how prepared and ready the people of Yonglei are for this expected election in December, if at all it will happen there. What about displacement? What is the magnitude of displacement in northern Yonglei, and where are these people?
Yeah, thank you very much. Just to give it, you know, a brief background, in terms of displacement, I would say it is humongous. It is huge and so devastating. The people in the northern Yonglei, as a result of those, military, you know, confrontation, that the whole country, of course, in the public domain, they are aware of. It has caused, you know, too much displacement in terms of, you know, the citizen in those counties, in the northern counties.
How many counties are all affected in northern Yonglei as a result of this confrontation?
The counties, you know, that are affected, we would say, okay, about six.
Six counties.
About six counties, yes. About six counties in the northern Yonglei. Some of them, they got affected because the IDPs, the internally displaced person, like counties like Duke, Twitch East, and Bor South. These are the people that receive, you know, much of internally displaced person. Particularly, you know, in Tuchis and Bor South, there was no any military confrontation in those locations. But in some part of Duke, particularly, you know, Pajut, because Pajut is one of the Payams in Duke County, and of course, UI, which happened to be in Uror, the headquarters of Uror counties, and Ward, which happened to be in Nirol counties. Yeah, so some people, IDP, some of them, fled southward to Duke, spilling over to Twigist, and some reaching even to Bor South. And then others went to Akobo West, proceeded to Akobo East, okay?
Yeah.
And currently even we can say on the other side of the river, which happened to, you know, our border with the Ethiopian government. Yeah, so that's what happened. So there were many people, you know, internally, you know, displaced. Even within for example, the counties of Greater Law, the three counties, which I, you know, I would say they are the one that are mainly affected.
The epicenter.
Actually, that is the term, the epicenter of this all these issues. That is Uror, Nirol, and, you know, Akobo. And then plus Ayot. Okay? These four counties, that is where we could say, you know, this military confrontation were very active.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so as a result, you know, when two elephants are fighting, what happened? Of course, it is the grass that suffers.
Right.
So that's what happened with our people. But, of course, as a government, we stood very firm and in solidarity with, you know, with our citizens.
Okay. Yeah. And, Honorable Minister, in your view, how has this ongoing insecurity affected democratic processes, like especially the citizens' participation? And we hear, like I said, there has been a series of workshop training of police in anticipation of the upcoming election in December. How is it affecting this process altogether?
Yeah, thank you very much. I would say, you know, this insecurity situation in the Northern Jonglei, of course, it has far-reaching consequences or implication in terms of what you're calling now the democratic, you know, processes.
Mm-hmm.
Because peace should be number one. When there is no peace, then, you know, we cannot talk of democracy. And so just to give but brief examples like what you mentioned in terms of citizen participation in electoral or democratic processes, you know, it begs the question, how would that happen, you know, when there is no calmness, when there's no peace? And so it has really impacted, you know, negatively, particularly, you know, in those counties in the northern part of Jonglei, because let me give you one example.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime, you know, around January.
This year.
A team of, or a delegation from Juba, the national capital, was in, I think they were on civic, you know, education exercise. These were teams, I think, from the National, you know, Election Commission.
Right.
Of course, we are having in mind that now the talks of no election happening in December this year. And so I think they are conducting that civic exercise.
Right.
But because of those conflicts, you know, that the incident that happened in the northern part, they could not reach. Their intention was to conduct that exercise in each and every county within the 9 counties of Jonglei State, comprising Jonglei State. But this couldn't happen. Why? Because, one, there was no access.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Both by air or...
By land.
By land. Or even by water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because of the insecurity that, you know, was really volatile early this year. And so that we can say, in one way or another, it has what? Has a negative implication on citizen participation. Because democratic processes, we have citizen participation being, you know, the center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's why when we talk of democracy, you can never miss out, you know, the question of public participation.
Right.
When we talk of public participation, it's about the citizenry. Okay? In this case, when there are conflicts, what happened? They will not be rich. It's like... maybe if I may borrow from the word of our late icon, Dr. John Garang Mbabior, that in one of his inaugural speech during the signing of the CPA, where I indicated that our people have been left in dignified silence for so long. This is what is happening in Jonglei State, because this majority of our populace in the northern part could not be rich by government services simply because of the prevalent, you know, insecurity issues in the areas.
Mm-hmm.
However, maybe in the fullness of time, in course of discussion, we shall be able, you know, to unveil how we as a government, of course, are trying, you know, to respond.
Yes, let's remain with that. How are you as a state government, with the support from the national government, trying to restore stability in Jonglei State?
Yeah, thank you so much. As you are all aware, Right now, at the beginning of this talk, I indicated that we have now what we can call normalcy back in Jonglei State. So when it appeared that there was really, you know, a potential security threat emanating from the northern part, now the whole issue was taken over, you know, at the top, you know, leadership of the country.
Okay. From Juba here.
From Juba. So they took charge, and with their response, you know, in as much as it has led to, you know, other consequences, which we will say are collateral in nature, but at least it has brought normalcy. Right now, in the northern part as we speak, at least we can say it is now fully under the control of what we've known as, you know, the joint operation, security operation, you know, of the country. And so people are coming back. So that one, the security apparatus, we would say they've done their part.
Mm-hmm.
Equally, you know, on the government, to be in Palila, the government of Jonglei State, we are continuously, okay, doing, you know, all efforts that will bring, you know, our people back, you know, to their places, trying to see, you know, how we engage with our humanitarian partners on how, you know, these internally displaced people can be helped.
So what kind of help do you think the IDPs want right now? As they're trying to come back to their villages after being displaced?
Yes, right now, the most pressing need is humanitarian in nature. Right now, I would say there is hunger strike. It is the main thing that is affecting particularly majority of our people in those the northern counties. So IDPs, of course, we need peace. When there is peace, these other things, including democratic processes, will ensue. Okay, but right now, the immediate assistance that is needed by IDPs and, you know, every other person in the northern part that was heavily affected, you know, they need humanitarian assistance in terms of food, in terms of medical supplies, okay, and all other humanitarian, you know, aids that we all know. This is should be, you know, now the priority. And even us as a government of Jonglei State, we have put that, you know, we've made a resolution as Council of Ministers is one of, you know, of our priority, humanitarian, you know, assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. And Honorable Minister, the insecurity has persisted for many years despite repeated government assurances that they are working hard to restore peace and stability in Jonglei State. The question is, why should the people of Jonglei State believe that the situation will improve now, given the past scenario happening in Jonglei State?
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Of course, I think arguably in the Republic of South Sudan, Jonglei is one of the volatile, you know, states. You recall, even prior to the establishment of the GPA, you know, Greater Pibor Administrative Areas, but then it was the whole Greater Jonglei, as that we all know. So this question of insecurity, cattle raiding, okay, has always, you know, been prevalent in Jonglei State. And so in the eyes of the public, there is some element of erosion of, you know, public trust, you know, that is bestowed on the government by the citizen. However, you know, they said Rome was not built in a day.
Mm-hmm.
They say Rome was not built in a day. I want to say this country South Sudan is ours. And we are the very people that will make appropriate choices or decision to do a turnaround, to move away from, because some of the insecurity issues that have been happening time without number in Jonglei State, we can arguably say that these are some of them, they have some, you know, historical underpinnings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this is something that, like inter communities clashes and all those things. Some of these things, once we have peace and normalcy, okay, these are things that can be addressed.
Yeah,
you know, progressively, as we've always been doing. And so, like one instance, we've been having peace dialogues, you know, initiated by the government and, of course, you know, supported by our humanitarian, you know, partners in terms of facilitation.
Right.
And these dialogues, you know, just that sometime they need to, you know, be done frequently, the frequency, you know, so that at least people put into practice whatever resolution or recommendation are made.
Right.
But, you know, the main setback has always been, you know, once we have it, like all of last year, we've only had it, you know, once. A whole dialogue that brought all the communities together in Greater Jonglei. When I talk of Greater Jonglei, it now includes, you know, the current Greater Pibor administrative areas,
mm-hmm.
and, our brothers on the other side.
Yeah.
Because they cannot be left out. So we came together, and this event was actually raised by His Excellency, the Governor of Jonglei State, and with his counterpart, His Excellency, you know, the Chief Administrator of Greater Pibor Administrative Area.
Mm-hmm.
And to a large extent, we can say it has really improved, okay, community engagements, okay, because, for instance, there are some routes that were impassable because of the mistrust between the communities. But as a result of that discussion, you know, people from Greater Pibor Administrative Area, they could, you know, pass come through the Jonglei and do some business exercise in Bor. You see that one. And
yeah.
Also Bor community within Bor locality, Bor County, they actually move freely, you know, to the other side, with the exception, you know, of some few criminal elements.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, as a government, this approach, in my opinion, need not just, you know, to be left in the hands of state government only. Even the national government, you know, would also need to come in, because there is a question of enforcement of law.
Yeah.
Okay, which requires, you know, security agencies. Like when there was a potential threat in the northern part, the government responded, you know, heavily. Okay, even these intercommunal issues, police need to be, you know, empowered through capacity building and so forth, and, you know, and so on, so that they can help in terms of carving these few elements that whenever we discuss peace initiative, we've agreed on some resolution, and then, you know, after a few months, you will hear of
one or two attacks,
raids along the way, cattle being taken. And in fact, what was worsening the situation even in the northern Jonglei, you can imagine, few criminal elements,
yeah,
from Greater Pibor, without not generalizing, okay,
yeah,
because we must really thank the government of GPA. They come up with stringent laws to curb, you know, this issue of prevalent or recurrent issue of cattle raiding and so forth. But there are some few elements,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we can say maybe they are living in bushes or what. As people are fleeing and all those things, some of them, they're taking advantage of the situation. They come, you know, and do cattle raiding.
Yeah.
Okay. So it becomes, you know, very, very, very challenging situation.
Okay. Talking about the issue of enforcing the rule of law in Jonglei State, there are concerns that some armed groups are operating with very little accountability. And sometimes, once people are raided, You don't hear people being arrested, prosecuted, or taken to court. What is your government doing to ensure that there's no one above the law in Jonglei State?
Yeah, thank you so much. In fact, in the manner in which we concluded, there is no one above the law. Okay? And institutions, I would say, are there to function and operate. Okay? For example, question of investigation. Question of investigation and the final conclusion and probably making a decision on whether there is a chargeable offense that would warrant taking, you know, the offender to court or not. This is not the role of governor, for instance. The institution known in law, charged with that responsibility. Okay? And this is what we all know, the police, you know, the department.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, the question that we might be asking ourselves is, why is it that whenever we've heard of incident of insecurity, gangs, armed groups, committing crimes, maybe they are not being brought, you know, to book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, this is a question that can be, I think, well answered by a person who is working, you know, in that
department. Has the state government, does it worry you, has state government officials?
Of that, course it does.
People come to your state, for example, they raid cattle, innocent civilians are killed, cattle are raided. But the first thing we hear is we are pursuing the animals. But the value of human being is not taken. But because we want to see people being arrested and then taken to court, investigated, prosecuted, and a fair trial is done so that the families of those who died gets justice.
Yeah, thank you so much. No, first of all, let me correct something. It is not about, you know, pursuing animal.
Mm.
I think this is maybe a statement that was found, you know, elsewhere.
Yeah.
Of course, human life, you know, matters. Okay? And so, look, this is a situation. When this armed element criminal comes and maybe conducted a raid, cattle raid somewhere. Okay? Maybe they fled, they went with the cattle.
Mm.
Okay? And in the course of that, there are loss of lives and so forth. What happened? Who should follow? What we do, of course, as a government, we normally, have some, security, emergency security.
Meetings.
Okay? Meetings. Okay? Which is squarely, you know, of course, the role of the government, because in the state governor being the head of the security, okay, and of course, you know, there are normally security strategies, you know, that are put into place, which we might not delve into.
Yeah.
On how government through the relevant agencies, you know, can handle some of these, you know, include, of course, we've been engaging our counterpart, you know, on the other end. Particularly in scenarios whereby we've heard that these raiders could be emanating, you know, from the other side.
Mm.
And so we've always, and some of them have actually, you know, yielded fruits. Okay, because step by step, once cattle that were raided, okay, like what we had recent incident, some cattle that were raided in the boar
and
buyed it, okay, our counterpart in the GPA cooperated with us and ensure that the cattle that were actually
recovered
and you know, are returned. Now the question is that how do you get all of those cattle raiders?
So that's the question. If you can recover the cattle, why don't you arrest the suspects?
Actually, you know, that investigation are ongoing as we speak. Okay. Investigation are ongoing, and you know, it will be difficult, you know, for us on this side, particularly on the part of Jonglei State, because if these cattle raiders have, you know, fled, you know, to other jurisdictions,
across the border,
the best we can do is to, cooperate, you know, with our counterpart in the other side, because they are also institutions of similar nature to us, the police, the investigation agencies, and so forth and so on. And actually, there is hope, there is possibility that these perpetrators actually can be apprehended, you know, and be brought to book.
Okay.
But I must be honest, that one has also proven difficult.
Why?
Probably, you know, because most of our institution, you know, there's a lack of capacity.
Okay.
So to speak. Because
many times we hear logistic, lack of funding, all this.
And those are the challenges, because bad roads, for example, cattle that are raided maybe from some part of Jonglei State, and maybe they are being taken, or vice versa. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You find that when we have roads, for instance, it could be very easy to counter.
Yeah.
Okay? But sometime, like now that we are approaching
rainy season,
it become impossible.
Okay. All right. And before our lines are open, Honorable Minister, our reporters who are based in Jonglei have talked to many people. And from the reports we are getting, the people of Jonglei State are so passionate and eager to participate in the election in December this year. One example is that we had a report about police being trained. Our report also talked to students who had a debate about this upcoming election. And the worry here is that if this displacement, the insecurity, persists, is it realistic to guarantee a free and fair election in Jonglei State come December 2026?
Yeah, thank you so much. Although we've actually brought it down to Jonglei State, this is a question that...
let's talk about Jonglei now,
Thank you. Let me also still remain in that land.
Yeah.
Of course, as you correctly put it, our people are yearning for that day when we shall have election.
The first of its kind,
yes,
in the Republic of South Sudan.
Independent election in the Republic of South Sudan. However, because of the security issues, you know, there's something I've mentioned earlier. Peace should come for. Peace should be the first things.
Mm-hmm.
There should be normalcy for this, because election is one of the democratic processes. For us, you know, to have election, and look, the timeline right now, in my humble opinion, although debates, you know, are ongoing
yeah.
as to whether it is really possible to hold come December. Because time might not, you know, time will be very, very, very limited. And so, in terms of the insecurity that have been happening, that is one of the impacts it has had, you know, on our people. In as much as our people are yearning, you know, for that election, some of them could not be rich, some of them could not actively participate, okay? Because we've got 9 counties in Jonglei. Mm-hmm. If 6 of them are heavily, you know, affected by these ongoing...
So it means only 3 are peaceful.
even, you know, even those 3, you could say they are not... peaceful as such, because it is a whole state, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is a whole state.
All right. Yes, our lines are now open. You can call us on 091-206-7879 or 091-206-7929, or do send us your question to our SMS number 091-2177-141. In the studio, I have with me the Honorable Minister of Cabinet Affairs in Jonglei State, Maulana Kwanyen Yon, and we are discussing a range of issues, the insecurity. I've heard from him that those who are displaced in 6 counties in the northern part of Jonglei are in need of humanitarian assistance right now, and as a state government, they are also working hard with their partners to provide those necessities for the displaced person. You can ask your question to him as we almost concluding. Hello?
Yes, tamam, dear. James Mbia, in terms of sound.
Okay, so I'll take it, James Mbia.
So I'll be tired. I'm sitting there. I'm not going to go to the Jonglei State. Can't be, it's a cabbage, yal sokar, seraguyal, ushikil hajer, kide hal, kalambe, wukifu kalai, wala lisa. Emeret min kaman daban mataran matra viga ketira sing sidanat bukun ketir hal lechoni a mologa bel sidanat maja.
Okay. Thank you so much. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
You're speaking to Alex Tanza from Juba.
Okay, Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to ask one question.
Mm.
My question is like this, because you asked the question, he declared to answer that question the way we expected him to answer it. Can he really tell us exactly what is happening? Like when the red cattle, you will hear, even me, I'm fans of following this thing over the radio, not in Jongole state alone. You can find in Rumbeka, you can find in Warab, all those things are there. They will just talk about recovering cows, recovering animals. They never talk about the human. And then you will hear they kill like 15, 16 people. I understand 16 people is not something easy. Mm-hmm. Cows people 15 to be killed at one because of cattle. And then they will just talk of like we recover the cattle. They will never talk about the calibrate. They did not arrest anyone. Which format did they use to recover those cattle? And then why are they not recovering the human life? Yes, I want him to tell me, as a common citizen, it depends me when I heard of my citizen being killed, and they talk about animals, they don't talk about recovering of their what all justice it made about them. It's okay. So painful. Can he explain things?
All right. Hello?
Peace Boy calling from Ezo County.
Okay, Peace Boy from Ezo County in Western Equatoria. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have just one question to the guest, because the way we are looking at our people suffering in other states, like in Jongole, particular Akobo. My question is, has people has fled Akobo now? What are you going to do now faster so that they can be here during election? What are you going to do, my brother?
Okay.
For that people to return to their country.
All right. Yes, let's begin with this important question from Mbia about the issue of child abduction. We have been hearing that, though of late you have not heard. And the second important question also from Mbia from Tonj is that, like you said, that the rain seasons are onset. You have seen the example here in Juba yesterday. It was so massive. And many people were affected by the heavy rain in Juba yesterday. And we can't even imagine about Jongole State given the past history. Are there plans already being put in place by the state government to mitigate the impact of any flood, if at all it may happen this year? Let's begin with these two questions. And Alex, also, you talked about it earlier on, but you can emphasize on the question of arresting those suspects who come raid, kill people, but the goal scot-free.
Yeah, thank you so much, listeners, for those good questions. Let me quickly respond to the question that were put forth by the three listeners. To start with, on the question of child abduction, of course, as Bia.
Yeah.
Put it, I think, maybe of late, you've not heard of those issues. Happenings, and this is a result of government initiative. Like you maybe have heard before in the course of my presentation, I indicated that we've had peace initiative, and in this peace initiative, some of the things that you know we've been doing is that the government has been working hard, you know, through the local government authorities to the point of chiefs and headmen at the local level to ensure that any children or women that were abducted, you know, from one community, you know, to the other, are we've been coordinating this actually with our humanitarian partners in the process, you know, of recovering these abducted children and women, because the people that normally happens to be the victims are children and women. And so you might have seen, particularly, you know, in December last year, a lot of, you know, children that were collected, who happened to have been abducted, you know, from both sides. And this is a process, you know, that is ongoing. It happened, you know, we actually returning children or women that were abducted, you know, maybe in 2006, 2002, and so forth. And so when you hear such things happening, that means, you know, at least our people are trying to rethink that as a government, we've always been preaching to them that this habit, you know, it should not actually be something that we could be talking of in this 21st century.
Okay.
That is on the question of child abduction.
The flood.
On the issue of flood, thank you very much for that concern. And as you put it, Jonglei State was one of the states in the country that were heavily devastated by the flood. Good enough, I happen to be the chairperson of a high-level committee on flood management in Jonglei State. So that tells you, as a government, we've come up, you know, with a high-level committee to specifically that brought together all the stakeholders from the government and from the humanitarian, you know, partners to deal with issues on flood, you know, management. Just to mention, but two, as we speak right now, we have a project that is undergoing. This project is being done by one of our partners in the name of IOM, particularly, you know, in Bor municipalities, which was one of, which is the state, you know, capital and hosting many people from Jonglei State. And so to curb, you know, any possible flood coming again, because right now we can say at least the situation is okay, not like 2021, 2020,
okay,
when we have the flood. And so right now there is ongoing construction of, rehabilitation of dikes around the town. And two, also there is installation of culvert within the town to allow, you know, flow of water should there be any flood. And
thank
finally,
you, sir. Yeah.
Just to conclude,
we are running out of time. Yes, we have
okay.
to go for the news now.
Okay.
Yeah, we will talk to you, Honorable Minister. Thank you so much for coming to our studio, and we hope to speak to you if you have time still around in Juba. And thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. My name is Sunny Martin, and catch us next Thursday, same time, same radio station. Bye-bye.